And here's an interview which gave me a flashback to my days in the New York punk scene when I was known as Kilbertus.
Marky Ramone was the drummer, of course, for the seminal punk band The Ramones. I asked him about the strange coincidence that everybody in that band was named Ramone. So let's start from the beginning. Your name was not originally Ramone.
No.
And the idea of the Ramones, there was Joey Ramone, there was Dee Dee Ramone, there was Tommy Ramone, there was Johnny Ramone. They were not actually originally named Ramone either. What was the idea there?
We just wanted to, I guess, sound like a gang or a bunch of brothers. So that was the whole idea of using the name Ramone.
Right. The New York scene, music scene, in the late 60s and 70s, which you were a part of, it seemed like everybody was starting a band, hanging out together downtown. It just seemed like you were in the middle of this insane scene.
Well, yeah, we were very grateful that we had a place like CBGB's to play, because at the time, nobody wanted to bank on that genre of music that we called punk. A lot of the stadium rock was, you look at one of their albums, they had about 6 songs on them opposed to 14, which is what the first Ramones album had on them. And they were short and sweet, 2-minute songs, and they wanted to go back to the original intent of rock and roll. So that's why when the Ramones started, and Blondie and Talking Heads and Television, Patti Smith, Richard Hell, wanted to bring back rock the way it was intended to be, with like Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, all those guys.
Yeah, and you were just like 4 guys, drums, bass, guitar, and lead vocals. I mean, it's amazing.
No auto-tuning.
Yes, to put it mildly. Sometimes no tuning at all, to be fair.
No tuning at all.
A lot of the musicians we talk to in the show, and I say, oh, what about the rock and roll lifestyle? And they go, oh, it's all overblown. Really, we were in bed by 10. You guys lived it.
we were in bed by 10 a.m.
Yeah.
In the morning.
I have to say, and I know your bandmates are no longer with us, but at the same time, I'm amazed you guys survived as long as you did, given some of the stories you tell.
Yeah, it is. We were definitely freaks of nature.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just persevered, and we realized that what we were doing was a lot of fun. And, of course, like a family, 90% it's a lot of fun being together, 10% it isn't. But in the end, 90% of it was a great time.
There's a story you tell when you were shooting the cult movie now, Rock and Roll High School, that you were shooting the movie in an unused high school in L.A., and the fans would come, and they'd line up on the fence, and they would throw drugs for you over the fence?
Well, not for me.
No.
For the bass player, who was known to indulge.
Yes.
And they knew we were filming there, and the next thing we know, we'd go to the fence and sign autographs, and we would get all these drugs thrown over the fence, pills, pot, anything, and DDR bass player would just put it in his pockets, and then he would put his hands in his pockets and start taking them. He didn't even know what they were.
I got to ask you one last question before we play the game. You tell a story later in the book. You go into rehab because you had your own problems with some substance abuse. You get out, you're clean, and you decide to go to work as a bicycle messenger?
Yeah, I was advised by a psychiatrist to do other forms of work which involved physical labor to stay in shape. They said, stay out of the music business and just do different things.
But my question is, you're a bike messenger in Manhattan, you show up with a package, you're wearing your spandex and your helmet, you walk in at some law office, and anybody ever look at you and go, Marky Ramone?
One guy recognized me when I was pushing a cart down Broadway. And he said, Marky, what are you doing? I go, pushing a cart.
Ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer.
And that was it.
Speaking of stupid questions, we are delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
And we have asked you here, Marky Ramone, to play a game we're calling
Marky Ramone, meet Marky Mark.
So the other Marky, famous for his contribution to pop music, was Marky Mark, which is what the actor Mark Wahlberg used to call himself before he grew body hair. Answer 2 out of these 3 questions about Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, and we'll give Carl Castle's voice to one of our listeners on your behalf. Bill, who is Marky Ramone playing for?
Heidi Green of Luxembourg City, Luxembourg.
So Marky Mark, for those of you who don't remember, was a brief sort of, I guess it was almost a novelty act with Mark Wahlberg. Much like their leader, Marky Mark, members of the Funky Bunch, had their own nicknames, including which of these? A, Hector, the booty inspector. B, Marvin, the band accountant. Or C, Ziggy Miggy, Riggy Piggy Iggy.
I would say the first one.
Hector, the booty inspector?
Yeah.
You'd be correct. Hector, the booty inspector, an important part of the Funky Bunch.
And no, he still calls himself that.
He's still inspecting booties.
He does. Doing it.
Although, in fairness, he is now a proctologist.
Next question. In addition to two best-selling records, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch are also known for what achievement? A, setting a record for the use of baby oil in one music video. B, creating what many experts say is the worst video game of all time. Or C, developing a new kind of Sharpie called Marky Mark's Marky Marker.
I would say number two.
You're going to say number two, creating the worst video game of all time?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Nice.
Wow.
The video game
for
the Sega system is called Make My Video, and the player gets to assemble various clips and make a Marky Mark video. Which you can't save, apparently. So it was very ephemeral.
Wow.
All right, let's see if you can go. See if you can go perfect here. Marky Mark, or Mark Wahlberg, has been a successful musician, model, and now, of course, a very famous actor and producer. He has said his ultimate goal was to be a professional golfer, but he says he's now given that dream up. Why? A, because, quote, no pro golfer has gone on to be president. Because B, quote, have you seen the pants those guys wear? Or because C, he's a terrible golfer.
I would say B.
You say B, that he doesn't want to wear the pants the pros wear?
Yeah.
I actually think he would not wear those pants. He's a fashionable guy. But the answer was C.
He
has admitted that his dreams of becoming a professional golfer will not work out because he doesn't play golf well enough.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
Bill, how did Marky Ramone do in our quiz?
Marky was on his way for Wait, Wait, Glory, but you fell short by one. You're still a winner with two out of three.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, Marky, thank you.
That was pretty good.
Marky Ramone was, of course, the drummer for the legendary band The Ramones. His new memoir, which is an amazing piece of pop cultural history, is called Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone. It's out now. Marky Ramone, thank you so much for talking to us. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
That does it for our mostly music-free music show. We'll be back next week with our usual comedy-free comedy show. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumosity, offering a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving with brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program. Performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at lumosity.com. The Scan Foundation, working to advance a coordinated system of high-quality services for older adults that preserve dignity and independence. More information is available at thescanfoundation.org. And Lumber Liquidators, a proud sponsor of NPR, offering more than 400 styles, including hardwood, bamboo, laminate, and vinyl, with flooring specialists in hundreds of stores nationwide. More at lumberliquidators.com or 1-800-HARDWOOD. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Deer, Whole Foods, Berman, Benevolent Overlord. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced each week by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction from Lorna White, our CFO's Andy Ann. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Thanks today to Bill Curtis, our wonderful guests, all the panelists that you heard, and of course, as always, our scorekeeper emeritus, Mr. Carl Castle. I'm Peter Sagal, and we will see you again next week. This is NPR.